This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. We got a big show lined up for you. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. What's going on, dude?
What's up, man? I was just chatting with my brother-in-law about my brother-in-law's father. I don't know what that makes him. It's kind of like my first cousin father-in-law.
Father-in-law-in-law? I don't know. Yeah, it's a layer removed.
He played with John Thompson in high school, and my brother-in-law's father, George Leftwich, was the D.C. Player of the Year 2 years in high school. At one point, when they had John Thompson on the team, they went 55-0.
Wow.
they were considered one. I knew some of this history, but I never had it all fleshed out for me. And then he's lifelong friends with John Thompson. But I went down a rabbit hole on my brother-in-law's father this morning because we're interviewing Mike Tomlin, who played football at Georgetown in the last couple years of John Thompson's career there. So I might, if that comes up, I might ask him just about if you ever met John Thompson, because obviously a fascinating individual.
Yeah, no, big time fascinating. Wow, 55-0. They never tasted their own blood, huh? 55-0.
They had it easy back in those days. That's what I always say. Those guys didn't know how tough it could be the way it is now in basketball.
Right, right. Yeah. They don't have good hoops in D.C.
They had John Thompson and Tom Hoover, who was a guy that got drafted in the first round. And at one point played for the Houston Mavericks in his career, but they had like a Twin Towers in high school, and just, it sounds like they were just indestructible.
And your brother-in-law's old man was the player of the year on a team with John Thompson and some
twice.
Dude got picked in the first
round.
Yeah,
yeah.
I gotta meet this guy.
Awesome. He's an awesome old guy.
I'll bet.
He's really awesome. We had Thanksgiving with him this year, and he's just he ended up coaching for like 50 years, and he's doing really well.
And he's got great stories, man. I'm looking forward to our conversation with Mike Tomlin today. That'll be fun. We got a lot to get to with the new Texans
Prezi. Is it definitely Tomlin, not Tomlin?
It's Tomlin, yeah. Yeah, I've been told it's Tomlin, yes.
Okay.
It's Tomlin.
Not to mess that up.
Someone even sent it to me phonetically. The T-O-E hyphen M-I-N, yeah.
They sent it to the guy who pays attention to details. I got no such email.
It was the day he got hired. I'm like, hey, I need to know how to pronounce his name just so I don't get off on the wrong foot.
We don't need to send this email to Seth so he reads it 3 weeks from now and doesn't mess up Mike Toman's name.
Walking around the halls in May, just saying his name for the hell of it.
Toman, did you know it's pronounced Toman?
That's right. So that'll be at 8 o'clock today. So we're looking forward to that. We got a lot to get into with the new Texans president. Last night, we were talking, Seth, yesterday, how the Rockets are going to be operating with a skeleton crew in all likelihood. Last night, they had a bunch of guys that were just listed as questionable. And if you're looking at discretion being the better part of valor in the whole thing, it's like, all right, well, this is a game that even with the full complement of players, the Rockets are going to be underdogs in. You got Indiana coming up on Tuesday. That feels like a more winnable game. Why not shove our chips into the middle of the table in Indianapolis? But the fellas fought last night,
man. They did. They jumped out to a lead. Hey, and Udoka, in a very non-Udoka-like statement, said, hey, we're just going to go out and have fun tonight. like he's a JV basketball coach of a bad team or something. Hey, fellas, just go out there and have fun.
And they
got nothing to lose.
And they did for a while. They were they were trailing by one at the half. It was a close game. It was a close game, and oddly enough, Like, the only star player out on the floor was Jalen Green or anything resembling a star on the floor.
For the Rockets.
For the Rockets, yeah. OKC had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Definitely looked like a star last night.
Did he score 50 or 79 points? What was it?
51 okay. That felt like 100. It was because he kept hitting shots at every point in the game where it's like where you get a little bit of hope. Like, he was dashing the Rockets' hope repeatedly with that fadeaway jumper all game long. But, yeah, they were doing it, man. Aaron Holiday coming in and chucking threes off the bench, and Jabari Smith was having a good game. And even in the fourth quarter, like in the third quarter, it was close early in the second half, and then the OKC had a run that you were expecting to have happen at some point. They went on like a 10-0 run. They built a 13-point lead about 4 or 5 minutes into the third quarter. And that's when I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to bed. This one's over now. So I'm in bed, and I'm just kind of like scrolling through some things. And I get the end of the third quarter notification. I'm like, hey, but this thing's still close. Yeah. And they were down six with about 5 minutes to go. And I turned it on, and OKC goes on an 8-0 run, and I felt partially responsible for that. I say all this to say, good job Rockets battling last night with a really, honestly, literally, a partial G League crew out there.
Yeah, and it was, you understand why they had that strategy, obviously, as you laid out. It would have been nice to pull off it would have been the miracle on hardwood. That's what it would have been known for forevermore. The miracle on hardwood.
It would have been. Dude, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is so good. God, he's good. What a deal. Like, that was the Paul George. They got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a bunch of first-round picks for Paul George.
You know, the one thing about the NBA. The one thing that, as much as the NBA has gotten a lot of criticism as of late and recently because of TV ratings and whatnot, mm-hmm. I do like the fact that, much like the NFL, it's not like baseball where you feel like the market size really matters. No. It's that, you know, certainly, obviously, the Lakers have a certain appeal, and there's other franchises that have either kind of geographic advantages or legacy advantages, but for the most part, it's as equal as you could hope to get.
Yeah, the leading teams in each conference are Cleveland and OKC right now. Now, that said, as we sit here and say how great that is, we have to put our money where our mouth is and actually watch the NBA Finals with Cleveland and OKC come June.
I'm all big talk right now.
Yeah.
A few months from now, it's like, this is why the NBA sucks.
Right.
You suck, that's NBA.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just saying, like, if we're going to say it's great, then we...
Let me put it this way. If you're a genuine NBA fan, it's great for that, reason. Yeah. In baseball, it just feels like you're constantly fighting on a slanted field uphill against the huge money teams.
Yes. Because that's what we're headed towards, man. Cleveland is up by 7.5 games in the East over everybody. And OKC is up by double digits in the West. They're up by 11 games over the suddenly resurgent Lakers and Nuggets. Should we be recalibrating our expectations for the Rockets? Come postseason and everything.
I think even when things were going really well for them, there were a lot of questions and unknowns because they were still a young team. They hadn't faced teams that were really putting out necessarily early in the NBA season. They also didn't have the pressure of teams knowing that they were going to be better than they are. I always felt like, hey, this is a team that can make the playoffs. That's ahead of schedule. And then they might be scrappy in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I still think that, yes, they could be scrappy in the playoffs, but they've never once this entire season felt like a team that could really make a push for the championship.
No, even when things were good and they were the 2 seed, and they were a pretty clear 2 seed at one point, you know, they were up by a few games in the 2 seed. Now, just to contextualize it, they're the 5 seed right now. They're a game back of Memphis for the 4 seed. Now, they're 4 games ahead of Golden State, so there are partitions going on right now. OKC is ahead of everybody by a mile. They're going to be the 1 seed.
Then they're 4 games ahead of Golden State as Steph Curry is starting to look like vintage Steph Curry is the only problem.
And Golden State's going to try to stay out of that play in 7 through 10. Golden State has something to play for here. The Lakers, Nuggets, Grizzlies, Rockets are all within 2 games of each other in that order. So right now, if the season were to end today and the playoffs were to start, the Rockets would be facing the Grizzlies in the first round in a series where they would go on the road to do that. My hope, my expectation maybe even, when they were the 2 seed was, all right, I think it's reasonable to expect them to get home court in the first round of the playoffs, which would be a 1-4 seed. They're only a game back. It still could obviously happen. It does feel like injuries are catching up with them a little bit. The league is catching up with them a little bit. they are, other than Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams, they are out over their skis in terms of experience right now in March and April in this type of stuff. My NBA finals for them this year would be like if you win a playoff series. If they win a playoff series, I'll be thrilled. Win a playoff series and then don't go down, you know, with just a glass chin in the second round. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yo, yeah, put up a fight.
Put up a fight. Yeah.
Put up a fight. The scrappiness and the tenacity that we saw early in the season, you just want to see that more consistently. So if you're in a playoff series and that's all you have to focus on, and some of the young guys aren't necessarily still looking at times like they're just disoriented about what it's like to play competitive basketball.
Yes.
Look, they've played entire seasons before, but they haven't played competitive basketball
for an entire season.
And it's a much more grueling affair when you're playing competitive basketball.
How excited were you to see Reed Sheppard last night get 23 in a starting role? I was. So as a texter, I still think Reed can be a star, someone texts in.
Yeah, fun. And I think again, we've gone through this with Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün, mm-hmm. and the whole lot of them. Cam Hayward still. Is that they're young guys.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to sound super, super soft or anything. I just acknowledge the reality of the situation is that, yeah, not every guy that comes into the NBA takes the league by storm his rookie year, even in his first two or three years.
Yep.
And there's some time for development.
Yeah. So Rockets back at it tonight, another back to back. This is like their fifth or sixth back to back in the last month and a half. It's wild. But they play the Pacers tonight. So I'm expecting they'll have mostly their full complement of players. Sounds like Fred VanVleet is going to be day to day, game to game kind of thing. This doesn't.
Did I say Cam Hayward again? I'm sorry, Cam Whitmore. What the hell is wrong?
I didn't hear
with
you
me?
Say it. Yeah, yeah,
I said Cam Hayward. I can't get defensive linemen out of my brain. I apologize.
It's a fetish. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're off and running on a Tuesday. Damn it! So close.
It's my fault. So I'm a bad influence.
So close. We got Cam Hayward coming on the show later on today. I'm sorry, Mike Tillman.
I'm like a bad influence in the offensive line meeting room. You can't expect the young guys, your young Pendergasts, to rise up to their true potential when they've got guys like me setting a poor
like
example.
Seth in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all good. It's part of the charm of the show, I think, is what I'm told. All right, you can text in.
This is what I'm told.
Some people giving backhanded compliments. Seth and I feel like idiots for 4 hours. They're like, no, that's what we love about the show.
You know, the appeal that you guys have is that you're so incredibly unprofessional.
It's really
refreshing. Yeah, yeah.
We love that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm smarter than you, and that makes me feel good about myself.
You don't hear that a lot on the radio. Yeah, exactly. Those people are employed. Right. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to today, man. We still got leftovers from the combine that we need to get to. The Astros yesterday, it continues. And by it is a good thing. It continues, but it's also started a little bit of a dust up on social media that popped up on my timeline this morning. The Cam Smith situation, we'll get into that. And Travis Hunter, soon to be top five pick, had a polarizing comment about the difficulty of what he does. We'll talk about that coming up next.